I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We got them right where we want them.
Prime time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today, from this moment on, is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make The Fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do? What is going on? It is 3 o'clock, right on time with today's 4-hour sports broadcast. You may be wondering, where's the Ahoy?
I can play one for you if you'd like.
Please do. I already miss him.
Ahoy!
Rest in peace, Big Sukanik.
Wait, he's dead?
He's out. Oh, no, he's not dead. At least, I don't think. Yeah, that'd be, boy, wouldn't that be something?
Let's not joke about that, okay?
Yeah, you're right. Let's start over. Big Sook's not here. In his place, Mike Lynch!
Hello! Here in my normal seat. Not over where Sook normally sits.
Yeah, you're not really replacing him.
No, I'm just here. I'm here.
See, this show is so strong that when Sook is out, we just keep going. We don't need to fill in.
No.
And today, I'm feeling frisky. And not lazy, because sometimes I feel lazy and then I go over in his chair and then make Luke come in and do all the work. But not today.
There's football today.
Oh, my God.
NFL season starts. Antonio Brown news. College football's back. High school football's back.
Whoa.
What's happening? Who's winning? What is occurring?
High school football is back?
It is. It starts tonight.
Well,
you have a 3-hour, 45-minute broadcast tonight, not four hours.
That's right. We're off early. Who's playing tonight? Who we got?
West Salem, Lake Oswego. Hmm. From the, I guess, black turf at West Salem's football field?
They have black turf?
I guess so.
Cool. Very progressive. Jeff Baton Rouge's sports pants are especially tight today, huh?
Yes, they are.
He loves him some high school football.
He has a pep in his step today. He is very excited that we are football Fridaying and high school football and the Ducks and all that. It's a good day to be Jeff Baton Rouge.
Does he disproportionately love high school football?
Yes.
What's that all about?
I don't know. Did he play high school football as a kid? Possibly.
I don't know. But you know what? Even at the high school level, you know what, Mike? We're going to find out tonight. Football's still football.
Football's football.
Well.
It just means more at high school.
Football is football.
Football is football.
Football's football.
Football is indeed football. But just in the event you don't think it is, we will preview week 2 in college football and week 1 in the NFL today. Now, we've got a lot of good stuff, and I'm not just saying that. We've got... Every Friday at 3:30, we've got a new interview, a new guy, and his name is Colin Wilson, and he is with the Action Network, and it will be an interview that pertains to gambling on college football. He's really good. You're going to like him. 3:30 every Friday, and that will debut today. We will set your college football DVR as we always do Friday during football season. That'll be at 5:15. We'll go through all the games, tell you what you need to know so you can plan your day tomorrow. And then Joey Harrington in studio yet again this year, exclusively here on The Fan. Nobody else gets this interview. Nobody.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. That may not be true, but I just say it.
Joey. 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 Joey.
We love Joey. He's on at 5:30 every Friday. This year, sponsored by BMW of Portland. Today, we will discuss with him a few things. One, his thoughts on what really cost Oregon in the Auburn game. Because, you know, he played quarterback and...
He probably knows a little bit more than we do about all this stuff.
Yeah.
I would hope.
He's pretty good. Like, he played in the NFL, you know. So that probably... I mean, there's probably a little different perspective there, which is kind of why we have him on. So he'll be on. We'll talk a little Antonio Brown with him, too. If we have time. But those are always fun. Joey's really good, really thoughtful guy. If you haven't heard his interviews, tune in. So that'll be at 5:30, and then we'll have an abbreviated club, and then We'll be out of here. The boss, Jeff Baton Rouge, just before we went on the air today, shot me a story that I did not see. Now, usually my award-winning show prep covers everything, but today this one slipped by me. And in between his hot high school football game plan edicts that he sends to you guys about how to execute the big high school football games tonight, he shot me a note that said, Paul Allen's yacht is for sale. Did you know this?
Oh, really?
Yes.
I've heard that somebody just sold a house that has a moat around it and maybe has a lot of money to purchase a yacht.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a yacht.
Yeah, a yacht.
You know how much his yacht is on sale for?
Oh, boy.
Paul Allen? You know, he was rich. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
$326 million.
Oh, Rob, that's chump change for you. You could do that.
$326 million.
Word on the streets, your house sold for $1 billion. So you could do that easy.
Is that the word on the street?
That's what you said. Yeah.
Oh, I did. It was less than that. But still.
Just a little bit less, right? Like Suke's bag. It wasn't $1,000. Mm. It was $999.99.
Mm. Yeah. How much do we think he really paid for the bag?
$1,000. I think he's lying to cover. I think he paid $1,000.
You don't think he paid like $995 and then so that way he can say it wasn't $1,000?
No. I think he's saying that to make us think he paid less than $1,000. In fact, he might have paid $1,000.15. Who knows? Could have been over $1,000.
You think his kids know about that?
I don't know.
I'm going to tell him next time I see him.
Did you know your dad bought an $1,000 bag?
Yeah, you got something in your holster, kids. And here's the thing.
And then forgot to take you school shopping?
Anytime you want money from him, throw that in his face. So it's $326 mil. It's the Octopus. Remember that? It's called Octopus. Mick Jagger has recorded a track on it. Wow, a little piece of history. And, it's like 414 feet long, and it's on the market if you want it. Could his basketball team be far behind?
Ooh. Ooh. I don't know. Everyone seemed to be...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
High on the Jody Allen's going to keep the team thing, so I'm going to go ahead and follow that until I'm proven otherwise.
Mm. Well, anyway, they're dumping the yacht. I thought that was interesting. Hey, do you know who's picking games on College Game Day tomorrow? Don't say Lee Corso.
Well, I'm sure he is, but...
No, he won't.
Well, he always puts the mascot head on.
Well, they want him to, but he can't even do that right anymore.
What is the game day game this week?
You know, that's a good question, but I don't know.
A celebrity based around one of the two teams.
Well, I know. That's why I'm saying I don't know the game, but I know the celebrity, so therefore I'm going to guess the game is Texas LSU.
Is it Matthew McConaughey?
It is Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
That makes College Game Day a must-see. In my opinion,
I think he's awesome, but I absolutely despise him in the Lincoln commercials.
Why?
Because he seems so too good for everybody in that car.
Well, he's pretty badass.
He's driving a Lincoln and he's sitting there and he goes, "Did you know that you're only as good as the steering wheel in your car turns you?" Or something stupid like that. And you're like, "Shut up, Matthew."
Do you yell at your TV?
I do.
You know what? I'm going to view this a little differently. Okay, I'm going to throw this at you.
Okay.
Chew on this, okay? About those commercials. Imagine if that were Tom Cruise or, I don't know, John Hamm.
Okay.
They would come across way worse than Matthew McConaughey if they had to do the exact same lines in the exact same ad.
True.
Think about that.
Because Matthew McConaughey kind of is that guy, the super cool,
that's why they
slightly,
put him in there.
Slightly douchey,
yeah,
but also everyone wants to be him. That's right. I get it, but I just don't like it.
Well, I'm sorry you don't like it, but Matthew McConaughey will be picking games tomorrow on College Game Day. That might get me to tune into that show, although that show is always a good one. Do you watch that every week?
No, I do not.
Why?
Because I don't feel like I need to watch generic preview of sports action.
It is so generic, too.
I used to like watching it, and then I decided that
so generic.
Why would I watch this when I can just watch the game?
Yeah. Well, I like to look at the signs. Okay, those are good. See, the leave it to the students. No matter where they go, the students always bring the heat way more than the actual show. But that's a good bit that they do with the signs. And then they usually have one good feature. Like if Tom Rinaldi's on there doing a feature, then you'll probably cry once. And then you'll laugh once because there will be a funny sign. And so that's a good morning to me. You laugh, cry before 9 o'clock. That's great. So I watch it. I like it. I don't know. It just, there's something about it. It's college football, man. It kind of gets you fired up for the games. And then it ends. And then you go to the 9 o'clock games. And then you're like, oh, it's like a total letdown because there's never any good games on.
Syracuse, Maryland, 9 a.m. ESPN. Watch it.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Maryland.
Yes. They put up 79 points on an FCS team last week. So
Maryland did?
They did.
Wait, Syracuse was playing Hugh Freeze.
Yes. They beat a guy who was in a hospital bed.
I tell you what, we're going to need to talk about the heroism of Hugh Freeze today.
Did you see the update on what's happening?
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I saw it. That story, I tell you what, you want to talk about a great college football story?
Hospital bed to dentist chair. Hell yeah.
Dude's going to be getting a root canal while calling plays. I mean, talk about a hero. Anyway.
My favorite part, because obviously I watched the Liberty-Syracuse game, was... They always, because it was the Liberty broadcast that was doing the ESPN Plus for whatever reason, they cut up to him about 50 times, and he looked so perplexed and angry, but he was lying down, so all you saw were his hands gesticulating and yelling at his coaches, and you're
fantastic.
Like, this is cute.
He can't yell at anyone up there.
Well, he's got the headset on, so he can yell
at headset. Guess so, true. But he also gave his pregame speech via, like, video from the back.
There's a giant screen, and he's just in the hospital bed.
Dude, he's fantastic. Anyway, we'll discuss that today. What were we talking about? Oh, Syracuse is playing Maryland. Is Maryland, so that's a tough game?
I think it's going to be tough, yeah.
Ish?
I think it'll be potentially high scoring, and it looks like the best, most competitive game in the early hour.
That's the best game at 9?
Most competitive game. Because there's like Ohio State, Cincinnati. That's you know,
not bad.
Could be decent. Iowa, Rutgers, that's not going to be good. Michigan, Army. So
yeah,
I think Syracuse, right. Maryland might be the most competitive there.
Well, Syracuse, in my award-winning show prep, Shep, hello? What's your name? In my award-winning show prep today, I learned that Syracuse is playing Clemson next week.
Yes.
That game is next week.
4:30 ABC.
Which is, I mean, that's huge, and that's at Syracuse.
It is, their home opener.
Yeah, so Syracuse wins this, they'll be 2-0 going into that game. I don't know what the Terps got going on, but
I don't know either.
They should win that.
Syracuse should win, and then that sets up. I mean, they'll probably get killed by Clemson, but the last 2 years.
Have they hung with them?
Well, they beat them 2 years ago, and they should have beat them last year. Remember, they got to their third-string quarterback, and he led that drive on the last drive?
That's right.
Should have been 2 wins in a row against Clemson.
Clemson, I mean, they play Texas A&M this week, so they could have a little hangover from that game if A&M gives them a run.
Good.
But if Clemson gets through these next two, smooth sailing.
Oh, yeah.
For them.
And even if they don't, only one loss, and if they go through the rest of the schedule and Syracuse loses somewhere, Clemson will get in.
Watch Willie Taggart beat him.
Man, I hope that happens. That would be so funny.
All right, so coming up here at 3:30, Colin Wilson Action Network. We'll take a look at the big games in college football, including the Ducks and Beavs, and talk a little bit about gambling. With him, that will be a Friday staple. Joey Harrington later. But up next, let's carve out a little time to discuss last night's icky NFL football game. It is 3:13 on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Colin Wilson of the Action Network will give his gambling perspective on this weekend's college football games. LSU plays Texas, Clemson, A&M, and we'll take a look at the Pac-12. That will be in our next segment in about 15 minutes. But somebody text the Better You Today text line can be reached at 55-305. And they were making the point that Hugh Freeze needs a rascal. And that's actually a really good point. Why is he up in the booth in a dental chair when he could be rolling around the sideline on a rascal? And how great would Rascal Cam be?
It would be way better than dental chair, but less funny to me. I feel like the fact that he's still going to be stuck in the coach's booth sitting in a dental chair is a way funnier image than him on a Rascal. Plus, in logical reasons, he's now out of the line of fire. Someone's not going to run into him.
Why a dental chair?
I don't know.
Is that an upgrade from the hospital bed?
It's probably less comfortable,
but
it's probably less embarrassing.
Well, I tell you what, have we ever seen a coach rolling around on a Rascal on the sideline? Because if we haven't, we need to.
The closest we've seen was I might get the school wrong, but in the NCAA tournament, the Georgia State head coach who broke his leg and he had a little, little rolly thing for his leg to stay, 90 degrees.
Yeah.
I forget. Was that Georgia State?
I don't remember.
It was a small school and he had to have that little rolly stool to keep his knee on.
You know what our chance, those are funny. You know what our chance was before all the crap hit the fan at Penn State was Joe Paterno. Dude, that guy never would have left the sideline.
True.
Right. So, and he was getting up there. Like way up there. They'd roll
I mean, he
him
pooped
around.
His pants on the sideline.
Yeah. So. I mean, was he?
He had to have been close to 90. Yeah. Had to have been close.
Yeah. He was a couple of years from rolling around out there on a Rascal with a blanket.
Smoking a cigar during the whole game.
Yelling at people.
He has a guy. He has a special tea guy who just fills tea up for him throughout the game.
Good times. Well,
Grandpa Joe, would you like some tea?
Yeah, Grandpa. Before we get to Colin Wilson of Action Network, Bears-Packers was super icky last night. I hated it. I don't know if you did, but I turned it off after, what was it? Well, no, I guess the Bears, they forced the Packers to punt and got the ball back at 2.5 minutes left and then sack and incompletion and then it was over. So I didn't turn it off. I lied to you. I didn't turn it off. I kept it on, but that game sucked.
I was not watching it when I got home, and then I checked my phone, and I saw that the Bears had a chance to tie it, so I flipped on the last drive and was thoroughly unimpressed. And I watched it here when we were here. But
yeah, you watch Mitchell Trubisky, who, if I'm not mistaken, did not play in the preseason?
I don't believe he did, no. One of many NFL quarterbacks who didn't play.
I just wonder if that's a mistake, because he looked terrible. That was as awful as I've ever seen him play.
And he's pretty borderline anyway. Some people are very high on him. Some people think he sucks, so
Suk thinks he sucks.
Yeah,
think he sucks.
I was a little more high on him than Suk was, but yesterday's game is starting to make me rethink that.
You know what he looks like? I hate to say this. He looks like Blake Bortles 2.0.
Oh, don't give him that.
But that's what he looks like.
Blake Bortles at least could, I don't know. I know Mitch Trubisky can run, but Bortles was way more athletic than Trubisky was, I thought.
Well, the point is that it's like, oh, this guy's going to be great, and then he keeps getting chances and keeps getting chances, and then maybe puts up numbers for a year and now he's a backup. I think Bears fans think that Mitchell Trubisky's the future and he may not be the future, man. And that was only one game. We shouldn't overreact. It could be that both teams aren't very good.
Well, it's like the Mario Cristobal thing. It's been one season and one game.
Yeah,
right?
Just one game. But not playing in the preseason. I'm sure that has something to do with it. But the other thing too is that one of the Packers defenders was saying that they just wanted to make Mitchell Trubisky play quarterback, which is
his position.
Basically, just means, take him out of his, make him work through his progressions and make him read the defense. And the stats show, on the first read, he's great. I mean, him and Nagy, they know what they're doing. They're sharp. First read, great. If you can get him to work and have to work through his progressions and read defenses, he's absolutely terrible. And that may just be Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, and the other side of that is if you can also keep him contained so he doesn't run, because he can run and he does like to go, use his legs and get outside the box and get a first down. So if you can keep him contained and make him go through the progressions, yeah, he's terrible. I remember in the drives I did watch, the amount of times they would show the replay and a receiver was wide open. And he was not looking anywhere near him.
There you go.
It happened at least three times that I saw. One, I remember.
That's what I'm saying.
Trubisky was rolling out left. Allen Robinson had no one within 10 yards of him, and he was like jumping and waving his arms, and Trubisky's looking across the field for whatever reason and then just gets sacked.
I don't know, man. I'm sure Chicago radio, they're taking all kinds of calls today on Mitchell. It's early, but that was ugly. I don't know which is worse.
And a lot of people were picking them as Super Bowl team this year.
Yeah, they were. Well, again, we'll give them time. But the quarterback, I don't know. Packers defense, they. I didn't know this about the Packers. Suk informed me and the listeners of this yesterday. The Packers made a lot of moves on defense. I don't really pay attention to what they did in the offseason. Their defense looked good. But then again, that may just be that the Bears' offense was that bad. I don't know. It's just too early to tell. But
Bears' defense looked great, too.
Yeah, I mean, so, and they're going to have a good defense. It's just, I don't know which is worse, like really bad early season NFL or really bad early season college football.
I think really bad early season NFL is worse because the expectation is so much higher. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers looked terrible. Also a guy who didn't play in the preseason and is under a new head coach with a new offensive system, which, as you guys talked about yesterday, there's already maybe a little bit of sparring going on between him and LaFleur, but Rodgers looked awful yesterday. And some of it was the Bears' defense was pressuring him constantly. I mean, he was always on his butt. But I just feel like he was underthrowing receivers. He threw a couple of wide-open guys behind him and missed the catch and it, or missed the pass. And it was like, this is Aaron Rodgers we're talking about. And he looked terrible, too.
Rodgers. Yeah, like I said, it may just be that those two teams aren't very good. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. The numbers on Trubisky, here's a split. They're saying that in primetime, he is so horrifically bad. Here are the numbers. Somebody ran this. This is just from last year, so it doesn't include last night's game. But he played in primetime 4 games last season, and he was Josh Rosen-like bad. He was this is average through 4 games. 21 of 32, 161 yards, 1 touchdown, almost 2 picks, and a quarterback rating of 65.
I seem to remember a game where he had 4 interceptions in a primetime game. I don't know exactly what it was. I remember because fantasy football, it was tied to a game I was playing, and he was just horrific. I think it was him and Jared Goff played each other and were terrible.
And then 10 games during the day, regular game times, he was great. His average over those 10 games, 20 of 30, 257 yards, 2 touchdowns, just a half of an interception. Again, these are averages. And a quarterback rating of 108. Primetime quarterback rating, 65. Regular daytime game quarterback rating, 108 for Mitchell Trubisky.
Wow.
That's just weird.
That's a trend. But is that a trend that you believe in? Is he just getting nervous when he knows he's on big primetime games?
Don't know, man. Perhaps it could be that he's playing better teams primetime. Those are the tougher games.
True.
So, and again, if you got a defense that can make him work through his progressions, looks like that may be a little bit of a blind spot for Trubisky. And somebody texted, the Better You Today text line, they said, yeah, the Bears could have had Mahomes. So true, man. Although I remember, like, it's so hard to go back and look at these drafts and then start bashing teams where, oh, man, you should have drafted this guy. Mahomes was, like, out of nowhere. I think he went 10th and Watson went 12th, but Mahomes... I mean, a lot of the experts were like, well, everybody was stunned that the Chiefs took Mahomes at 10. But yeah, Mitchell Trubisky was the number 2 pick. Remember, the Niners...
And the Bears traded up to get him, too.
Yeah. The Niners had the 2, and the Bears had the 3. The Bears gave the Niners, I think, 2 threes and a 4 to jump up to 2, and they took Mitchell Trubisky. Number 1 that year was Myles Garrett, who went to Cleveland. And the Bears right there could have taken, oh, hell, at 3, they could have saved a 2/3 and a 4, and at 3 could have had Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
And yet they have him.
Another head-scratcher, by the way, from the Bears yesterday. I just brought this up. So they have the rookie David Montgomery, who they were talking really high about the whole preseason, right? You have Tarik Cohen, who was amazing last year. David Montgomery had 6 carries. Tarik Cohen, 0 carries. And then Mike Davis, 5 carries.
The great Mike Davis?
What are they doing? And so Cohen had 8 catches. I mean, he is a pass catcher. But Cohen was amazing last year for them. They don't give him any carries. And the rookie that they're really high on, they give him 6? What is happening? It was a close game the entire time. It's like they just gave up on running the football or trying to at least get that to go. And it didn't work.
I don't know. Maybe you should coach the Bears.
I should coach the Bears and offense for Oregon, right? The easiest jobs.
What is occurring?
Well, I was looking at that draft, just pulled it up, and so Mahomes went 10, Watson 12. If we got to be fair about this, which we probably should, there are plenty of other teams 3 through 9 that would trade who they took for Mahomes in hindsight, and there are others that wouldn't. Like the Niners ended up taking Solomon Thomas. And he doesn't start for them. Jags or next, they took Leonard Fournette. He's always hurt. So those two teams would probably rather have the quarterback. Titans took Corey Davis. You know, of course, they had Mariota. But Corey Davis hasn't done much. So they'd rather have, you know, Mahomes or Watson. The Jets, though, Jamal Adams, he's a stud. Panthers took McCaffrey there. Oh, here's the worst one. Bengals, right before Pat Mahomes, took John Ross.
Oh, no.
Bengals. They could have punted on Andy Dalton.
Although we all knew when they took John Ross, that would be a bad pick, too.
Yeah.
That wasn't, and in the moment, like, oh, look at this great receiver. It was like, yeah, John Ross is, he's a piece of glass. He's going to break every single time he's on the NFL field.
Well, it just shows you how important those quarterback decisions are and why teams often reach for them. And the Bears, they pegged Trubisky, and who knows, maybe it still works out, but he didn't look very good last night. And one other thought about last night's game, totally random, but the second I turned it on, my first thought, how good is Al Michaels? That guy's still got it. He's 74 years old. He's money.
He's one of the best, if not the best.
He's the best. I think he's the best football guy. Collinsworth kind of grinds my gears, but...
Although everybody is now obsessed with the Collinsworth slide, and I cannot be happier about that. It's such a small thing to be obsessed with, but I love it.
What are you talking about, where he slides in on his chair?
At the beginning of the broadcast, and Al Michaels goes, and now here's Chris Collinsworth, and he just does this slide into the camera picture. And it's awesome.
It's hot.
Whoa.
All right. Coming up next, Colin Wilson will make his debut on our show. He'll be with us every Friday at 3:30. He is with the Action Network, and we will take a look at the gambling perspective on this weekend's big college football games, including Oregon, Oregon State, and Texas LSU. That's coming up next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Big Souk is out today. Joey Harrington will join us later. 5:30 to be exact. It is 3:34. Sports gambling becoming legal. Slowly. Nationwide. We just had a book open at one of our casinos. So we thought, man, if you guys haven't tried out the Action Network yet, their content... from the gambling perspective is fantastic. It's worth it. Check out the Action Network. And so we thought we'd do a little gambling segment on college football each Friday this year. And making his first appearance is Colin Wilson of the Action Network, who joins us now. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I love the state of Oregon, and I'm glad that gambling is legalized for you guys, because it's been quite a transition. I've traveled to Oregon for a number of years, and like usually it's like a slot machine behind a curtain, and
yeah.
It's like a said thing, and now it's legalized, so it's good news.
Oh, it is great, and it's only going to get better. I don't know, man. Let's do this. Before we get into the games, you know, help the novice. There may be a lot more people, a lot of our listeners getting into it, sports gambling, now that it's legal. What strategies or, I don't know, ideas are the most important to someone betting football? Is it just simply pray or what? What advice can you give?
Well, prayer never put any extra money in my wallet. So I think what you need to do is take a good hard look at analytics and numbers. Stick to numbers. Treat teams like stocks. Treat it like you would the stock market. Know when it's a bull stock. Know when it's a bear stock. Know when a team is peaked. Know when there's no value in the number. And I think most importantly, know when not to bet, because sometimes numbers are good. You just bet numbers and don't bet teams. Don't get wrapped up into the name on the jersey. It's more about the number. And really, that's building a stock market. And you just need to know when to buy and when to sell those teams. So treat it that way and treat it emotion. Don't have any emotions into it. And your sports gambling will be much more profitable.
The books are so good, man. I mean, you see these games with like 38-point spreads, and it comes down to the final play. How do you get an edge against them? You're talking about analytics, but what specifically? Because they're so, it just seems like even with the over-unders, they're just amazing.
Yeah, about 2007, I was struggling in my sports gambling career, and I couldn't understand, like, as a guy that's got an engineering degree and a math degree, I couldn't figure out how these books were so much smarter than me. And then finally, I started developing my own power rating system, and I did exactly the advice I gave out, was started to treat it like a market, where I understand that over 100 times that I take -6.5, that's going to pay off at least 15 more times if I was to take -7. So shopping for the best number, having many ways to get out and get a better number, managing your money. If you bet $10, make sure you bet $10 every time. I mean, you should only bet more than 1-3% of your entire gambling roll. Let's say if you had like $100 in your pocket and that's all you had to gamble, you should only be betting about $1 per game. So, I mean, proper money management, knowing when a number is bad and knowing when to stay off, I think that takes time. That takes a lot of – it takes time, patience. It's hard, because last night I wanted Green Bay pretty bad. Had a feeling that they were going to win, but I thought the number at 3 wasn't good enough for me. And, sometimes you have to pass.
Yeah. And it also takes fewer drinks, I'm guessing, too, because it's easy to start chasing.
If you're going to mix in alcohol with your gambling, which is fine, I've done it before too. You just want to make sure you're not betting an amount that you'll actually miss. I mean, just treat it like when you go to one of the casinos, you know, like and you're convinced that you're just going to give the casino $100 to blackjack. Just treat your money that way, that you just don't care if it comes back.
This is Colin Wilson. He's with the Action Network, and we're going to get to know Colin well here in Portland over the football season. He'll be joining us every Friday at this time. All right, let's get into it, man. We got two Pac-12 games already. Cal still doesn't have much of an offense, it looks like, and they have to travel up to Husky Stadium. Washington's favored by 2 touchdowns. How much value is there on a quality defense that Cal has here?
Yeah, this is a really big game. I think it's not being talked about enough. Cal actually beat Washington last year, 12-10. It was one of the few games that Cal had where they didn't have any turnovers. And that's really the key to all of Cal's games these days, because their defense is just lights out. It's one of the best in the nation. They can compete with anybody. But can we get the offense and Garbers, and can we get the quarterback to not have any turnovers? That's the big problem. They had multiple turnovers against UC Davis this past weekend. They were still able to win by 14, but should have won by a lot more if they wouldn't have turned the ball over. And that was a really good UC Davis team, by the way, on an FCS level. Washington, on the other hand, all fresh faces on the defense, a bunch of new faces on the offense. They had no problem taking care of Eastern Washington, who's known for their offense and not really for their defense. So I've got this number specifically set at about 10.5. So when the number opened up, it went from 12.5 up to 13. I was able to put what I call a unit. That's how much I bet per game. I was able to put some on 13, and then it got to 14. I bet some more. And so it's finally seeing a little bit of retraction. I wouldn't be surprised if this closed Washington minus 12.5 or Washington minus 12 possibly. But the game is really all about how many turnovers is the Cal offense going to have, because Justin Wilcox knows Chris Peterson very well. Justin Wilcox, the Cal head coach, was Chris Peterson's defensive coordinator at Boise State from 2006 to 2009. These coaches have a personal relationship. They like each other a lot. They know each other very well.
All right, so Cal, pretty good bet as long as they don't turn it over, if I'm hearing
you
right.
As long as they don't turn it over.
Yeah, which is always a big if. Plenty of us here were high on Oregon. Hopefully you didn't get screwed by them like I did. But do they bounce back against Nevada? I think the spread is something around 24.
I actually had money on Auburn. I had bought Auburn -2 way early in the summer, somewhere around May. And I had a feeling it was a game that was going to close at 3. So I thought at Auburn -2, that'd be a pretty good, number to have in my back pocket, but it closed at 4. And Gus Malzahn's decision not to go for 2 and, it just kind of ruined every Oregon bettor out there. Yeah. I think Auburn was the wrong side, and the win was a product of Gus Malzahn's decision not to go for 2. So tough to back, to be back behind Oregon. It's a similar situation with what happened in Oregon at Stanford last year. I had plenty down on Oregon, and what happened at the end of that game with Stanford was just heartbreaking. You would think that the Nevada game, they're going to come out, they're going to be fired up. Nevada was a fraud in their box score. When I say fraud, I don't mean like the team is a fraud or the coach is a fraud. What I mean is they won a game against Purdue where they were outgained in total yards. Turnovers played a big factor. They shouldn't have won the game against Purdue. So they were a box score fraud, and Oregon should take advantage of that.
This is Colin Wilson, Action Network. I can't imagine USC-Stanford is easy to handicap because both starting quarterbacks are out. How do you view that game?
Very hard to handicap. I had the game set at 3.5, and that was with Costello playing and without JT Daniels, which we knew pretty quick on Sunday that he was not going to be playing this week. But the KJ Costello news, he's worth 3 points to Stanford. He is an excellent quarterback. He knows his receivers well. He's always had success with them. And I think him going out and Mills coming in is about a 3-point difference in the power rating. And that really hasn't shown up in the market. It was sitting at -1 last night. The news came out. It's now sat at 3. I expect that this number will go up to 3.5 or 4 by the time kickoff is tomorrow night. I think it's more of a change for Stanford to handle than it is for USC. And the major handicap on this, whether Costello and JT Daniels were going to play or not, USC is just a more physical team in the trenches on the offensive line and the defensive line than Stanford is. You take away the quarterbacks from both these teams, I think it becomes even a bigger advantage for USC that they can control a ground game on both sides.
Beavers, 7-point underdogs or close to in Hawaii, late one tomorrow night. Any scenario where you take Oregon State this weekend?
I have money on Oregon State, and I have to say, and let me preface this, I'm a Razorback, and Oregon State beat us in the College Baseball World Series. So every time I see Oregon State, I have memories of dropping foul balls and losing the national championship. So, but no, I have money on Oregon State. This is a complete overreaction. I don't understand how Hawaii is an 11-point underdog to Arizona, win the game, and then they're a 7-point favorite to Oregon State. So that would tell you that there's an 18-point difference between Oregon State and Arizona. It's not. In my power ratings, they're 6, and other trusted power ratings that are out there that people look at, I've never seen a gap between Oregon State and Arizona greater than 8. So for this line to be an 18-point difference that Oregon State is the gap between them and Arizona is just not correct. Hawaii should not be this big of a favorite. There's also Oregon's best feature is their running back. Their running game is excellent. I expect them to do that a lot more. I mean, Oklahoma State was just at another gear, at another level with an amazing offensive coordinator when they came to town. This is a step down. I mean, this is going to be easy to run on Hawaii. It's going to be easier to throw the ball against Hawaii. I expect a lot of success out of Oregon State, and I actually like the under in this game. I think 77 is a little bit too high, and I project it in the high 60s.
Tell me you don't bet college baseball.
Of course I do. College baseball is a growing gambling community. It's small, but when you get pitchers like you had with, I mean, the rotation of pitchers that Oregon State had during their 2018 run was amazing, and Arkansas's for that matter was too. And then you look at Kumar Rocker, who pitched for Vanderbilt this past year in 2019. He took Vanderbilt all the way to the championship. So I think the thing with college baseball is if you're going to bet on it, just make sure that you've got the best pitcher in the game, because that's what the biggest factor is in college baseball.
All right, a couple games nationally. Clemson favored by 17. They're hosting Texas A&M. Is it possible this is the toughest game Clemson will play all year?
I think so. I mean, I had a little bit of worries preseason about Florida State, and it just seems like they're not able to figure things out. And Willie Taggart is throwing the strength and conditioning coach under the bus, saying that they're not, the Florida team was not properly hydrated and not conditioned for the Florida heat. So it's already looking like, things are not going well down there. They kind of, gave it up to Boise there in the second half. So I was worried about Florida State, but now I'm not worried about anybody in the ACC. So that makes this Texas A&M game probably the biggest on Clemson's schedule. I have a feeling that Clemson not only just covers the current 16.5 or 17 that's out there, they may go even farther than that. There's a lot of money on Texas A&M right now, and a lot of people are looking at last year's game and what Kellen Mond did. But people don't realize that Clemson's weakness last year was their secondary. Everybody in the secondary in that game number 2 for them was brand new faces. Well, now the secondary for Clemson is experienced, and they're highly talented, and they're going to have Kellen Mond more of a game. He's not going to have as many windows to throw into. He's going to be on the run a lot more. And on the flip side of that, Trevor Lawrence now goes up against a Texas A&M secondary that lost their 2 top safeties from last year. So I think he's going to have more success in the passing game, and I like Clemson in this game to cover the spread.
This is Colin Wilson, Action Network. He'll be with us here on The Fan 3:30 every Friday. A couple other ones I want to ask you about before we cut you loose. Texas hosts LSU. LSU's favored by about 6.5. Both coaches I read are great as underdogs. I saw Tom Herman is something like 12-2 against the spread as an underdog, and I think that old Mr. Bayou down there is like 6-2 against the spread as an underdog. Are those numbers right, and who do you favor?
Yeah, they're great underdog. They're great motivator coaches. Probably the best underdog coaches in all of college football. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that is as good as getting their teams up when they're feeling like they're being disrespected. I'm taking LSU in this one. I do have to say that I had this at LSU at pick and -3 and -4, but that doesn't help anybody that's listening because the number right now is 6.5. The number has grown that much this week. It has gone from a 3.5 up to 6.5. I think odds makers just know that LSU, the way that they looked in their games the other day, although Texas had a whole bunch of success, they only made Louisiana Tech punt twice in the game. That's it. The Texas defense only made La Tech punt twice. They only had 1 sack. They had 0 quarterback pressures. This LSU offense is now being run, and the game is being called by Joe Brady. He was with the New Orleans Saints. he is coming in, and he's got Joe Burrow not only throwing downfield, but he's got them hitting targets out in the flats. He hit 12 catches by running backs last week. So if Texas decides to try to get aggressive and come after Joe Burrow, he's now mastered the fact of hitting his running back out in the flats. LSU is now multidimensional on offense, and their defense might be the absolute best in the nation. I don't believe in Texas's defense and the special teams. Don't ever forget about special teams. LSU was top five last year. Texas ranked 59th overall in special teams. There's a huge advantage for LSU here.
UCLA is an 8-point favorite against San Diego State. After watching them last week, I don't think they should be an 8-point favorite over anyone. Why are they so overrated? Or are they? I mean, you may like them. I don't know.
It's funny is if you watch the San Diego State game, you wouldn't think that they would need to be within 14 points of anybody. They scored 6 points against Weber State, and that's not a knock on Weber State. Weber State's a very good FCS team. So, I mean, San Diego State's defense is legit. It always has been. They run the 3-3-5 scheme down there. It confuses a lot of people if they haven't seen it before. But San Diego State is moving from a pro-style offense to a spread offense, and they want it to still be a rush attack, which is crazy. I've never heard of a rush attack coming out of a spread offense, but they only put up 6 points on the board as a result of 2 field goals. But you look at UCLA, I'm not betting this game because I don't trust UCLA either. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is just a fumble waiting to happen at any moment. The defense was being pushed around by Cincinnati. They got whipped in the box score. There's nothing for me that I like about UCLA whatsoever. If San Diego State can find a pulse on offense, if they can figure out this spread attack that's going to be a rushing based attack and they can put up points, then I like them in this game and possibly to win outright. But there's nothing about UCLA I like.
And the last one was Tennessee. I know we got to cut you loose, man. I appreciate your time, but Tennessee last week was awful. They lost to Georgia State. Mm-hmm. I just noticed that they are back at home and they've got BYU. Tennessee favored by 4. Is there a side there?
Yeah, take BYU. You know, they just can't beat Utah. It's a curse 9 years in a row, and they have the better trenches, and Tennessee's going to be in a lot of trouble come Tuesday.
I love it. Colin, thank you so much, man. My partner will be back next week, too, so we'll add another one to this, and we look forward to talking to you every Friday. Thank you.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, take care. Colin Wilson, Action Network. He's good. You know, I've got a couple observations. We're going to do a Colin Wilson post-game show next because I've got a couple observations about gambling talk.
My head is spinning, but I'm also really intrigued.
Yeah, he's good. I there's a couple things I jotted down that I noticed because I'd never talked to him before. Mike found this guy and said, hey, we should do this. And we all agreed. And so let's give it a shot. And I like it. I think that's going to work. And there's a couple reasons why. We'll get to that next. But then at 4 o'clock, let's get to the Antonio Brown talk too. He found the line. And he is now backtracking. We'll get to that coming up. It is 350 on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
A stunning reversal, or is it really? Antonio Brown talk at 4. But I wanted to follow up with a couple of things about our gambling expert we just had on there, Colin Wilson, who is with the Action Network, and he does a lot of NFL stuff too, but we do plenty of NFL gambling talk here even without Colin. So I figured since he's the lead college football guy at Action Network, we'd keep it to college football each week, but we may sprinkle in some NFL. There were a couple of thoughts that I had while we were interviewing him. One is that the sports gambling sort of analysis has absolutely evolved. I mean, Souk and I have been doing this for a long time. I mean, I've been here almost 20 years now. So I remember we go all the way back, even with a show I did with Gavin Dawson back in the day, we would have gambling guys on, and it would be this sort of seedy, like, hey, I'm going to tell you how I feel about this game, but if you want to know how I feel about these games in your region, then call my 1-900 number. You know, like that type of thing. Like we had Brandon Lang on for many, many years, and he was good. He was a good radio guest, but I always hated it that guys wouldn't actually tell you who they're betting, like who they're picking. So when I was sitting there listening to Colin going, God, you know, I just think sports gambling, as it's becoming more legal and more accepted, I just think it's getting better. I think it's getting smarter. The number of people that are really analyzing it are changing. It's more analytical. It's better numbers. It's a deeper dive into games. And so over the years, Suka, I think, agrees with this too. It's been hit and miss finding a sports gambling guy or a football gambling guy mainly that we could present to you that would keep everybody around or as many people as we can around. Because a lot of times I think the sports gambling jargon kind of loses people. Not everybody gambles, right? So
you even for me as someone who understands the basics of gambling and has actually, you know, done some sports gambling, when you guys, even when you and Suk talk, I'm like, what are they saying?
Yeah,
it's just the words you use. I'm like,
that's a hard one. But if you either understand it or you don't. But I think a lot of people are more are getting into it more as sports gambling becomes legal, and I think it's becoming more widely accepted. And I feel like the analysis is much, much better. And he was a great Colin Wilson, the guy we just had on, is what I'm talking about. Just was a great reflection of that. So I'm pleased with that. I think that's going to go well this year. I thought he was like people are texting in too. I mean, we always, you know, we get your feedback as well. And, you know, this guy says, I'll tell you why this guy will work. This is a text, 55305. I'll tell you why this guy will work. He was well-spoken, communicated with reasonable logic, and I understood his reasoning, especially the Oregon State pick. The guy who used to be on somewhere else, yeah, well, we don't need to talk about that. It's just that the gambling guys are hard. It's hard to find one that sort of fits what you want. And every show is different, and every gambling guy is different, so it's hard to find those guys. But hopefully, we found one there with Colin. Andy tells you who he's betting on. How about that? He likes the Beavs. He convinced me to throw money on the Beavs.
How about that? I just love the way he explained it, because you see the line, you're like, oh, okay, 7-point dogs. But then you realize Hawaii was 11-point underdogs to Arizona, so they think Hawaii is 18 points better than Oregon State, and you're like, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Well, that's what he said at the start. It's like, you got to view these as stocks. You can't throw the emotion into it, and we all think we're not throwing emotion into it, but at the same time, we are throwing our sort of bias into it in the sense that we all think Oregon State sucks, right? Yeah. So if Oregon State's a 7-point underdog, you're like, well, of course they are. They suck. Well, wait a minute. Look at it in the context that he put it, and maybe that's a good play. So we'll talk to Colin every Friday, 3:30. That'll be fun. Coming up next, Antonio Brown found the line. He will be back with the Raiders. 3:59 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.